If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome to the George Mossy Show. We're going to be discussing Happily Ever After episode 5 tonight. I hope everybody just hope you finished. I watched it on Max, so it finished like a half hour ago. But yeah, we're going to talk about that and get your thoughts on the rest of this episode and season as well, because we got a preview for next week too. We're just gonna talk about as well. Gonna wait on Kara and Dee Dee though. We're gonna wait for them before we get too deep into the conversation. Just to be fair, well, all Dee Dee's here. Dean and TJ and the Diva speaks. Hello, everybody. Hello, Riley. Hey.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
So, we're going to talk about Happily Ever After episode 5. Hey, Christina.
Hi.
Hey, Kara, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, hello. I see Riley and I also see Shida. Shida, hello, Shida. Nice to see you in here. So we're gonna be talking about episode 5. So we got a new people. Thais and Patrick were introduced. I don't know if you guys, are y'all a fan of Thais and Patrick? I don't know if I ever asked you that. How do you feel about them?
I was until this most recent thing with John.
Oh, so you were cool until we saw the hatred towards John and yep. How they kind of turned on them. Okay, interesting.
I haven't liked them. I've never liked them.
You're not like a number one fan either way?
No.
Okay. Well,
I'm not a fan, but I also don't dislike them, but I just think the way they're acting towards...
I like them, which is interesting. So I think this will be a fun conversation, right? Because...
But George, you're always the total opposite of me and Kara, so what else is new?
Yeah, you're right. We don't see eye to eye on much. Which is interesting because we get along really well.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't see eye to eye on much at all. So, actually, Shida, I think you and Bilal are going to be popping up later in this season as well, if I heard correctly. So I'm kind of excited about that because it's been a hot minute since we've seen any of the latest pranks that Bilal has been, you know, putting on Shida lately. Some of them being very unfair. But I want to talk about this trip to Brazil, right? So... Thais is going back to Brazil to see her father and family with Alessi, their baby. And John has gotten wind of the situation and wants to go and visit. So I want to get your idea on that because we know that Patrick and John don't share the same father. So this isn't a bonding trip with their dad. This isn't the same dad. So how do you feel about him inviting himself on the trip, and is it warranted for Thais to be like, I don't want him on this trip because it's my family? How do you feel? Like, do you feel like it's warranted for her to be like, well, he shouldn't be invited because this is my family, or do you feel like they're all family?
First of all, I'm confused on the timeline. The baby's 6 months, but John's engaged. So nothing matches up.
Well,
exactly. That's what I was supposed to say. It's not matching up. The timeline is not matching up.
Well, you know, they could have easily gotten engaged and then gotten engaged again to film it.
Nah.
It's very possible that they were already engaged and then when they started doing the single life, they're like, well, pretend like you're not and then we'll release that you're engaged on the tell-all. It's very possible for production value. So we don't know... Mm-hmm. What the actual month and day they got engaged was?
No, because if that was the truth, then John wouldn't have been making a big deal over it on the tell-all if that was the case.
Yep.
Because
I don't know.
He said he was still not ready. Per se, he was not ready to get engaged still. So
he might be ready to happily ever after though next season though. I don't know what's up with that, but we know that John is inviting himself. And another question that popped into my head, hey, Jamie, was, is Megan going to also be going to Brazil? Because with him being engaged, is it okay to leave Megan back in Texas and go to Brazil by himself? Like, how do y'all feel about that?
Well, if Megan goes, then who's going to watch her daughter? Is she going to take her daughter as well?
I think her daughter would have to go too, right? Like, how early is it too early? Like, if you're in a really early on, like, engagement, how soon is too soon to leave the country and leave the person behind? Is there a timeline? Is it ever okay? Or if your relationship is strong, you should be okay? Like, I don't know. I feel like leaving the country is a lot for somebody that I just proposed to, right?
You asked me, and I can't answer, George, because I do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And, I mean, I don't ask questions. I just pack up and go. So,
you don't,
Cara, you answer.
So you don't get permission. So, okay, so Didi, let me ask you a question.
If
you were invited to Brazil and your significant other was not, would you just go?
If I want to go, I'm going to pack up my clothes and go. Plain and simple.
Even if, really? Yeah. So you don't care that it might bother them, that you might be going without them?
I do what I want to do.
And the person that you're dating is completely fine with you doing what you want
to
do.
Well, they're fine with it or not. They're going to have to be fine with it.
But also...
Just saying.
John and Megan already have trust issues and they track each other's location. But...
Right.
This is all happening long before he moved and long before he's engaged. They just slipped him in the middle for the ITMs. Slipped him in the middle to make it look like it's all happening now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the single life was already filmed and everything, so they're making this more than it was. They're creating a timeline that probably didn't exist. I think that's what's happening. And I think that there is a little animosity, though, between Thais and John, because when they were going at it, Patrick kind of acted like he didn't want to be a part of it. Like, he didn't want to get in the middle. He didn't want to try to calm them down, because Thais clearly doesn't want him around. But I think it's also important to realize that Thais's dad hates Patrick. I don't know if you saw the preview for next week. He called him a bastard. Like, that's pretty hateful to say to the father of your grandbaby, right? That's a pretty hateful thing. So bringing an extra person who can be known to be problematic into that type of dynamic might not make the situation better, right? Like, that was my first thought. I was like, well, John is probably going to go over there and make things worse, because John isn't the type that's going to suck up or kiss up to anybody. So he's going to tell the dad off, and then it's going to blow up in everybody's face, right? I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Well,
it's all for show.
I think because of the... I mean, in reality, you know, I think with John and Patrick not having the same dad, okay, why does John want to go over there? We already know John's going to want to go over there and stir the pot. And then especially if he does go and Patrick tells him that Thais's dad called him a bastard, it's just even going to stir it even more. So
I don't see how any of John being with them is going to work out in their favor. I feel like if you want this man, first of all, this man hated Patrick from the beginning, so I don't really think that's going to change. But now that they're married and have a kid, it's more so of tolerance. I think that's what a lot of parents learn.
It doesn't sound like he's tolerating him very well, calling him a little bastard.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty strong...
People, and when I tolerate people, I don't call them names.
See... Sometimes
true. I tolerate a lot of people too.
It depends. Like, I have people in my like extended family that I tolerate every now
but
and
you don't then. Walk into a family function and say, "What's up, you little bastards?" Never have you done that.
No. Not in front of everybody. But like, I have
you
called
call
people
them all individually to the bedroom and say it.
Yes, I have called people names.
I'll be calling a lot of people names. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to, you know, the people that I have to be cordial around or have to get along with, per se. You know, I may be all smiles on the outside, but I'm killing them. I done killed them 10 times just by looking at them.
If I was meeting my son or daughter-in-law for the first time, well, I can't say meeting him for the first time, but if I was opposed to and didn't give my blessing, and they already did it, she already moved in, they're already married, they already have a baby, I mean, what am I going to do? All you can do is show a little grace and accept it, or you're never going to see your grandchild.
Right. Right. And that's why I was like, it's gone to the tolerance phase. Because when you meet somebody, you can like them, dislike them, or you can tolerate
also,
them.
Also, obviously, she's got a really good life over here.
Yeah.
He provides well. He's got a nice house. She has everything she needs. The kid's taken care of. Like, I mean, you can't, as the father, you can't exactly hate him and say, shame on you for taking good care of
do
him.
Do you think that Thais is not sending money over? Because, you know, when it comes to males in the culture, it's their responsibility to take care of everyone. But since Thais is a woman, do you think in her culture she's not required to send money back?
I'm sure she's not required to, but I'm sure they do.
Right? I feel like she would, right? The way that they're living an amazing lifestyle.
I would think so.
Because remember, Thais had like a little sibling. I can't remember if it was a sister or a brother, but I remember when they were there, she had like a tiny little sibling. I can't imagine that she's not sending money to make sure that her mom and sibling aren't taken care of. Right. Now, I can't imagine not the way that they're living, right? They live in a beautiful house and they do some amazing stuff. I follow them. Okay, so I've seen the things that they do. It would be crazy to me to believe that the dad isn't benefiting in some way from the life that she now has, right? Like, I can't imagine that she's not doing anything for him. So the fact
Hold
that
on.
She would...
I need to address Riley's statement. Patrick did ask for her hand, and he said, no, you do not have my blessing.
Oh!
So, oh, yeah, Patrick did. Patrick did. Yeah, he did, and he refused.
Yeah, you're right. But he waited until, like, the night before the wedding.
Yeah.
To ask.
Yeah, but remember, that's Thais's fault, though, because Thais is another, what's that girl's name? Allie, or whatever the hell her name is, the one with Clayton. I mean, she's another one that she lied on the reason why she was coming over here. She told her dad that she was coming over here on vacation.
Yep. Yeah.
Her dad didn't even know that she was in a relationship. So it's Thais's fault.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Why do you think that she didn't want her dad to know? Because you're right, Anna Lee did it, and somebody else did it too. Now I'm going blank, but this isn't like.
Wait, hold on, Riley. What do you mean it's Patrick's fault? What is Patrick's fault?
He should have.
He did have.
He did talk to her dad, and also Patrick had conversations with her dad in Brazil as well. Her dad just hates him.
Yeah, like, but Thais always introduced him as a friend. She never introduced him as a boyfriend. So, no, it's not Patrick's fault. It is Thais's fault.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as much as I love to blame guys for things, he didn't do nothing this time. Like, honestly, he's the one that pressured Thais to get her dad to talk to him so he could ask for the blessing. Because Thais was just like, let's just get married. We'll tell him whenever. And he was like, no, I'm not going to marry this man's daughter. And then someday down the line say, hey, I married your daughter and didn't ask. He literally pressured his fiance to get him on the FaceTime call just so he could ask. But the dad reacted the exact way she thought he would. She was like, he's going to be bad. He's going to feel like I lied. And it's true. He reacted the way that she treated him. She made it seem like his blessing wasn't important. And because she was dating Patrick for well over a year.
Yeah.
Told her dad that was her friend.
Yeah.
Never once gave him any information of what was really going on. So, yeah, Thais is the one that screwed that relationship up. I mean, let's be realistic, she could have been honest that dad still would have disliked him because the dad kept saying comments like he's just some American who wants a Brazilian woman. Like it's some sort of weird fetish. Like the dad just kept saying he's just some American who wants her or whatever, which it's true. He is an American who wanted a Brazilian woman, but he's taking very good care of her. You know, it wasn't
but
like
he's also part Brazilian, so I mean.
Well, yeah, that's true too. The fact that he kept referring to Patrick as some American is crazy because they share the same culture and blood. Like Patrick is definitely half Brazilian. He was over there to see his dad, which a lot of people didn't realize. Patrick's dad lived there. That's the only way that, because he didn't go on vacation and found some beautiful girl at the beach. He was visiting his dad and saw a beautiful girl at the beach. That's a little different.
Yeah.
Some people go on vacation to find vacation sex. He actually was there to visit his dad. It wasn't that type of party.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If a man that I met at the last minute asked for her hand, I would say no. He didn't make an effort for the forgiveness for the year-long love. I call the same thing. See, I mean, Riley still doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Riley still says
again, once again, Riley, once again. You yeah. know, you're going up against the wrong people. Okay, Riley. All right.
I mean,
let us repeat ourselves again. She,
I understand.
She told him. We get what you're saying. But she told Patrick not to say anything, not to say anything. Patrick was doing what she asked because she said she was going to make it right with her dad, which she never did. And so whenever she came over here to the United States, he thought that she made everything right with her dad. But in reality, she didn't even say anything. She just yeah. said she was coming on vacation until the night, I think before the day before they got married.
Yeah.
That's when she finally gave in and told her dad.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, Melly Joy also agrees with Riley. So, Riley, you're not alone in where you're saying, because Riley's like, he's a man, he should have stepped up. I understand both sides. I do feel like when someone tells you, hey, I'm going to take care of my family and I'm going to have that conversation, if you trust them, you trust that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And I feel like he trusted that Thais was going to have those conversations, and she didn't. So I get it. I mean, if you're a dad, see, I'm much not old school like a lot of people are. I don't like the practice of asking for a man's daughter's hand in marriage. I don't believe that women are property, and I just don't like the idea that you need permission to have her. You know, so I'm not mad that he didn't get the blessing, because look, they're very happy. They have a child together. They have no major issues that we know of. They're not going to be on the last resort. You know, so I feel like their blessing was irrelevant. I feel like their relationship is fine either way. But I understand old school wise where it's very important, especially military men as well. Like, you get permission. You know, you ask, you have, you know, I remember seeing the I don't know what movie it was, but the guy went to talk to the dad and he was in the military, and the dad made sure that he was cleaning his firearm during the conversation. You know, it's a dominance thing, and you want to show the man like, hey, I respect you, but I also want your permission. You know, I totally understand, but I don't know. I can't okay. blame Patrick.
But your daughter lies to you, tells you she's going to another country to work. You don't even want to see any of her paperwork. You don't want to see, you just, whatever. She's going on vacation. That's fine. You don't want to see anything. None of that makes any sense. She came on a K-1 visa. How does the dad not know that, if he's that involved, if his blessing's that important? She's a grown-ass woman. She came to America. She married a man who is half Brazilian. She is living a great life, has a beautiful baby. So now it's just time to act like a dick so you can get a TLC check. That's all I see.
Well, yeah,
I think that if she didn't even have to say anything to her dad at all, she probably still wouldn't have said anything about them being married.
No, she
would have kept the whole thing secret.
She wanted nothing more than to get married without saying a word to her dad. Patrick literally said, I'm not going to marry you unless I have a conversation with your dad. He literally forced that conversation. She was that, and when you watch the preview, she was very, very uncomfortable on that FaceTime call. Like, she did not want to have anything to do with that conversation because she already knew what was going to happen. But Patrick really did try to make it right. But, you know, if he doesn't want to give his blessing, he's not going to give his blessing. They had 90 days to get married. They got married on, like, the 88th day. They didn't have a lot of time to convince him otherwise. You know, like, that. It is what it is. They had to do what they had to do.
So this comment that agrees with the person that is agreeing with Riley said, tradition, not permission, is respect. So he followed tradition.
By asking.
He asked permission. He didn't get it granted. So,
the tradition, like, he's that, if that comment is true, tradition is asking. So he did ask. So he followed the tradition, which showed that he respected her dad. So yeah, I agree with that. I think doing it behind his back without saying a word would be disrespectful. Tradition wise, I think in this day and age, women are people and they can make their own decisions. If a woman wants to get married without her dad's permission, I her body, her choice, right? Like, I feel like if she wants to do that, I'm not going to stand in the way. It's none of my business. But I do think him asking permission showed that I respect you as a man, as a father, and I would like to have your permission. But obviously, he moved forward either way. But I think, like she said, permission was less important. It was the tradition that was important, and he followed it. He did.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, he is one of the very few that is giving his wife and his daughter a great life.
Yeah.
Very few on 90 Day Fiancé.
I agree.
Yeah. Speaking of good lives, right, I want to hop over to Cameroon and Africa, because we were watching handball, which I'm assuming is like the African version of pickleball. So we were watching handball, which I thought was crazy to me. First of all, they were playing, like, it kind of looked like hockey or soccer, but it was on concrete. But there's so much grass around them, because I was like, why wouldn't you just play in the grass? That seems way more safe than, like, if you take a fall and you hit the concrete. But that's neither here nor there. It just looked really dangerous to me.
Yeah.
Because I used to play floor hockey when I was in high school, and we played on, like, the basketball court, and it was concrete. And I remember falling one time and breaking something. So, like, the first thing I thought of was, oh, he gonna break something. Which I was close. He didn't break anything, but he was playing on a bad knee. And Emily kind of showed some concern and was like, hey, how are you? You know, maybe you should sit this out. The friends, the Cameroonian men, saw Emily's inserting herself in Kobe's game to be a bit embarrassing and overstepping her boundaries, which, I don't know, I feel like showing concern, like if I genuinely see somebody and they look like they're in pain, I think showing concern isn't disrespectful. It shows that I care. So I don't understand their practices and how men, because he was like, oh, that's totally fine. You just do it in private. You would never do that in public. But I was like, if I see somebody hurt, I would insert myself. I'll be like, hey, do you need help? Can I help you walk? Can I help you get up? I don't know. They're just, but that's not what is important. What's important is they dropped this bomb, right? They said that Kobe was in China, but while he was in China, there was a girlfriend that was in Cameroon that was under the impression that they were still together. Now, when Kobe was in China, he got Emily pregnant, and we know it happened really, really fast, like within a week. So what's the deal? We know that Kobe's friends hate Emily because she just happens to be white and a woman. So, but do you think it's possible that Kobe had a girlfriend back in Cameroon when he was sleeping with Emily? Because I know that they weren't dating for a long time. So it was like they met a day or two later, she's pregnant. So, like, it's very possible with the timeline. But do you think that there was a woman back in Africa that he was dating? Because let's remember, before they got married and he moved to the U.S., he went back to Cameroon waiting on the visa. So what do you think was going on between Kobe and this other woman?
I don't know. I'm sketched out now because I really like Kobe, and I think that he's always seemed as like a super upstanding guy, but now all of that came out and it's like he probably had a couple of girlfriends. I mean, you just up and leave and like they didn't
well
break
so
up.
Far all the so far the ones from Africa, the ones that we've seen, they've had multiple wives and girlfriends. Yep. So
well, possible. Yeah. Mel Joy just said they're allowed to have multiple wives. And I think it depends on your religion and culture in Africa, but multiple wives is very common in Africa and then especially in the U.S. But depending on what they believe, what they practice, I'm not 100% sure what Kobe's religion is. He doesn't focus much on, there's not a lot of talk on it.
But I think that there's a difference between multiple wives, because that's your culture, mm-hmm. and banging this chick and moving to America and marrying another.
Yeah, that's very different. That's very different. And that's the question, because, and how serious would it be? Because the first thing that popped into my head was, okay, he's dating some girl in Cameroon. He sees, you know, I think a lot of people from Africa would see, like, you see a winning lottery ticket. He sees a winning lottery ticket in China, a white girl who's super interested in him. And he's like, well, this makes more sense for me. And then, because then my mind went to, well, what if she didn't get pregnant by mistake when they were in China? What if this was all planned? He saw an opportunity, right? And he was like, well, my life could change drastically if this woman is pregnant with my baby, because then I'm going to be going to America. So it all, made me raise my eyebrow a little bit, because I never thought of Kobe that way at all. But then I have to remember the information is coming out of the mouth of a man that hates Emily. So it's not right. necessarily like I can take this as fact, because he has no interest in this marriage being successful. So you have to remember, when people have ill will towards a situation, they are never going to have anything positive to say. So right. I don't know. I was like, well, it made my eyebrow raise, but it also made me wonder, well, the messenger who's giving me the information is probably not trustworthy. So I should stick with what I think I know about Kobe. I don't know. I feel like Kobe's not that type of person, but he did meet Emily pretty quick in a club, and they were sleeping together pretty fast. Like, I want to say in the club bathroom, right? So like, it was pretty quick. So I don't know what to think.
I mean, like you said before about Patrick not going over as looking for a vacation lay and all of that stuff, Emily kind of was. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So I think they just hooked up without thinking it was going to turn into what it turned into. But watching Kobe, when he first saw Coben, when he got to America and he first saw Coben, there is literally no way any of that could have been staged. That was all true, real, raw emotion.
I truly
fell in love with her by accident.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. I mean, I feel like Kobe's a good dad. He's a good husband. I don't know. It's really hard. I don't like when people try to tarnish people's names after the fact, you know, and then we weren't there. So we just have to take people's word for what happened, because we don't really know what happened. It's really hard, because when I get to know people and I see them, and I have an expectation of who they are and what they would do. So when he was telling the story, I was like, I don't know if I believe that, but I also wasn't there, you know, so I don't know. And
it's a like you said, possibility Kobe did have a girlfriend. I mean,
so if he did, how wrong is it that he abandoned that girlfriend to be with Emily? Is it wrong, or do you think that it's okay?
If he cheated, that's very wrong. If he really did have a girlfriend, that means he cheated, which means that he would be a really big prick, nicely. How are you gonna make that breakup in any kind of positive way when you went? You have a girlfriend, you left your girlfriend, you went to work supposedly, and you cheat on her and you get this girl pregnant. So how are you gonna make that, and how are you gonna end that relationship in a positive way? There's no way positive. I mean, there's no way that you're gonna end that relationship well.
Right.
I agree.
I mean,
or did he even say anything whenever he went back? If he was still with the girl?
That's what I was wondering, because
together until they made their mind up that he was actually going to go to the United States?
I don't know. They made it sound like he just bounced.
The guy was like, he went to China and she thought they were still dating. But there was a period when Emily went back to Kansas and he went back to Cameroon while he was waiting on the paperwork. So that was I guess that's more important. What was he doing then? Did he go back and break up with her right away? Did he tell her the full story? You know, did she know that Emily was pregnant? Like, that's kind of what's interesting. And I think TLC is really messy. So I'm hoping that while they're in Cameroon, we can track her down and we can ask her, right? Like, just be messy a little bit. Like, hey, can we just get her to explain what happened? Did he actually break up with her and she didn't want to break up and she was still thinking they were in a relationship and he was in China single? You know, like, I would love to hear. And also, when it comes to an ex, you have to watch what exes say about you too, because sometimes when you move on and they weren't ready to move on, they don't always want to talk highly of you either. So it would be very easy for her to say like, oh yeah, we were together, because that's what she wanted to be. She wanted them to be together, but he wasn't with her. And because the guy who told the story, he was like, she was under the impression, or she thought they were still together. So when you say something like that,
probably be the surprise guest on the tell-all.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping. She'll be on the TV and she'll get to like tell us what really went on. But I mean, they're 2.5 years into their marriage and 3 kids. So I really don't see how this is going to have a big effect, right, on the situation.
TLC will wave that money in their face and they'll make it be really dramatic. This especially Emily, because she's dramatic anyway.
This could be a a lead into The Last Resort, like if they want to pretend like it was a big deal. I don't really see how it's a big deal. They're three kids in. You know, if she felt like he was an untrustworthy cheater, I don't think they would have made it three kids in, right? Like, honestly, I don't see it. And I feel like this kind of happened with Sam and Citra. Remember at the tell-all, they brought up that Sam cheated on Citra, and Citra was like, well, this is irrelevant. She was like, we're married, we're happy, and I trust him, and I really don't care. And I feel like that's probably how Emily would normally react, unless, you know, they were trying to put them on The Last Resort. Because honestly, they're 3 years in, right? And this would have been before they had kids, before they took any vows, before they were engaged, any of that. I feel like bringing up old stuff is really a recipe for disaster. Oh, speaking of old shit, right? I want to get into this Calum, Rob, Sophie, Kay, this whole triangle of people that Sophie has been banging, right? So I want to get into this because we found out tonight that Calum decided to tell us that he would take Sophie back in a hot ass second. So I want to get your reactions to that, because Sophie last week was like, oh yeah, we dated for like 15 minutes. I was like a child, it was nothing. Calum is like, yeah, if she wanted me back, we're back together right now. So my question is, when do you think the last time it was that Calum and Sophie banged? Like, when do you think was the last time?
Like a year and a half ago.
So, like, right before she...
If I brought in anybody, any man, now man, and said, this was my boyfriend when I was 13 or 14, that doesn't even count a little bit. That was some boy I was riding bikes with. That doesn't count. That's not a boyfriend. Come on.
Well,
you're a teenager.
Well, can we, I don't know if y'all caught it, but I caught this. Okay, she told Rob that they never kissed, they never held hands, they never did anything.
Yep.
But when he went out there, he's like, well, you know how kids are, you know, kissing and messing around and stuff. How is it that Rob did not catch that? After she had just stood there and said they never kissed, they never held hands, nothing.
See, my issue is, if this was when they were really young, why did he fly across the world to see her? Like, I feel like, because when this came out and he was like, oh, we would get back together, you know, and I want her to be happy. And I was like, you're way too invested for somebody who dated her 10 years ago. It's like, y'all were sleeping together recently. So I was like, you're too invested.
Probably the whole time that she was over there waiting on Rob to bring her to the United States.
Now
they're married. Now she's getting her green card. Guess what? All right, Calum, come on over.
Guess who wants us to check in on his girlfriend, right? Guess who wants to come check in? And this is making the plot so much thicker, because Sophie made us think that Rob has been over here sending sex videos back and forth with women, and she's just been this little angel over in the UK waiting on her visa. And now she's been banging Calum the whole time. Like, I mean, this is allegedly, I can't prove any of this, but it just seems really strange to me that he flew over.
And what's her face?
Oh, and Kay. I mean, absolutely. And it's so like,
he's banging her. If Rob was laying in bed with someone else, doesn't matter, male or female, she would lose her shit.
Yeah. It's a double standard. It really is a double standard, because she wants to make it as innocent as possible. She's like, oh, me and Kay were just friends. I was like, but the problem is you made sure to tell everyone you were bisexual. And friends, I have friends, we don't sleep in the same bed. You know, we're very close, we're friends. We can sleep in the same place, but we're not in the same bed. Why are you sleeping next to her? Why are y'all touching each other? Like, there's a difference. And I don't want to say that every bisexual is having sex with everybody, but.
And why are you making the comments you take better care of her than Rob does?
More than one time she made that comment. More than one time, right?
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Like me and Carl was talking about the other day. We think that Kay is the one that wears the strap. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Coco Puff says that it caught her attention because Calum went to check on her while she was arguing with Rob. That caught me too, because I was like, well, why are you checking on her? Like,
okay, but did anybody else notice how freaking staged that was? So they're sitting there, Kay and Calum are sitting there. Rob and Sophie are talking, and she goes, okay, go. She sent him in.
Who did, Kay?
Go back and watch it. Yes.
So yeah, because I didn't like that. I was like, if y'all aren't involved or you don't want to be involved, you can let her handle herself. Nobody was being physical, you know, like there was no reason to insert yourself into that situation. But maybe that was just them. You know, because, you know, in Kay's best interest, it would be nice if Rob and Caleb were out of the picture, right?
Yeah. Like,
in her best interest, both of them are the problem. So why not send him in to go fight him? You know, so Sophie can just be like, I don't like the way either of them act. So she can go back home to Kay anyway. Because Sophie's like, oh, I'm going to come back home tomorrow. And I'm thinking, like, y'all just had a huge fight. You're lying to him about who your exes are. And now you think it's time to move back in? You know, like, how do you feel like any of this is going to work out? But at this point, I don't really feel like they're trying to make things work. Like, I feel like they're like what you call, they're reactive to each other. Like, they play off of each other, and I feel like they're happiest when they're fighting. Kind of like with Angela and Michael. I feel like Angela was the happiest when she was yelling at Michael. I feel like Sophie is the happiest when she's telling Rob how annoying he is, and then he's having a hissy fit. I feel like that's her high point. You know, in those relationships, yep. they have no actual fire burning. It's all just two people angry, fighting all the time. But you have to remember, some people in their relationships, if people aren't fighting, they're not happy. Because they grew up around fighting, they grew up around chaos. So chaos is what they're used to. And I think, I don't know if it's Sophie, Rob, or both, but I feel like chaos is kind of what makes them react to each other. Like, when things are fine, it's such a short amount of time. They're like, oh, we're happy. And then 5 minutes later, they're screaming at each other. And I feel like that's the whole point. Because I was like, at this point, I just want them to break up. Because I feel like it would be the healthiest thing for everybody, including us. Right? Like, even us watching it, I feel like is unhealthy at this point. Right?
But instead, we're stuck with a whole nother season of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm hoping the last season, because at the end of The Last Resort, they either have to stay together or break up. So I'm hoping that they break up. And then she can be with either Caleb or Kay or both. This is 2024. You can do whatever you want now. There can be like three of y'all.
There can be a whole thing going on. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if that's what they want to do, they have a 14-year-old's relationship. Yeah, you're right. It is 14-year-olds. Because we also found out in the preview for next week, they're not sleeping together. So Coco Puff, you nailed it. It's a 14-year relationship. Fighting all the time, no sex, trying to hug him. He doesn't want to hug her. Yeah, I agree. They're teenagers. They're little teenage relationships, and they're in middle school, and they can't find a reason to make it work because they don't love each other. It's literally what a teenage relationship is. Oh, so let's head over to New York City, because they left Rochester, and we got a little bit more of Manuel's true colors, because they went over to NYC to pick up Jonathan, and Manuel dropped a bomb at the table. He was like, hey, Ashley, wouldn't it be amazing if I could move in with Jonathan and you could just take your ass back to Rochester? This is what we've been trying to tell y'all all along. Because he was like, why don't you just go live your life and I'll live my life in New York City and then we don't have to talk anymore. And I was like, he's actually making this scam pretty obvious at this point, right? Like, he's basically telling her, I would love to have a life that you weren't in. That's literally what he was saying. And I was like, the fact that he has the balls to say it is crazy to me. But the fact that Ashley doesn't have the common sense to see it is, I think, the more part of it that makes me crazy. Because I'm like, you do realize this man is trying to get rid of you in his life. Like, he's trying to start a life that you're not a part of. And then apparently he's always on his phone, and Jonathan says, oh, well, he doesn't pick up when I call. So who's he talking to? I think we know, right? I think we found out that his baby mama has been reaching out to Jonathan to get information on his life, which I think she wants to know if the plan is going well and when she can come to be with him. I think that's probably what the story is, right? She wants to know how much longer.
Yep. So at what point do we stop calling them baby mamas when these kids are teenagers?
Unless they've got kids smaller than what he's really telling us.
Oh.
You never know.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
We don't have teenage mama. Why is it always baby mama? That's a good catch. Because they're not babies.
Weird.
That is a weird
thing. It just seems.
That term in general, I think, is very degrading. Because it's making the woman like she's not important enough to be girlfriend or wife or fiance. I've never liked that term.
Even ex.
Why can't it just be ex? Like, I think baby mama is kind of a degrading term, and it's used to put negativity on the role. You know, like, though she was good enough to have a kid, was not good enough to marry. You know, like, there's different variations. I don't know. I've always hated that word, that term. But I think that in this situation, he's really showing early on. You know, usually you wait a bit. I think Pedro waited 7 years or 6 years,
yeah,
you know, before you show your ass, right? And I feel like he's definitely jumped right in head first. You know, and he's like, yeah, I think I should move in with Jonathan, and then we don't talk anymore, and then I live in America, and you go back to where you came from. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty bold. You know, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't just say Dee Dee and Kara were right all along.
You called it. I mean, I thought that he would have made it at least until his paperwork came through. I mean, not his work paperwork. I don't think he's trying to work. But I do think, like, his citizenship change of status paperwork, I feel like that would have been more important, you know, like, because at this point Ashley does have the opportunity. I don't know how far along she is with the paperwork. I'm assuming not far, because I feel like she's very absent-minded. I feel like she hasn't,
remember, she's $100,000 in debt, so
right, so I'm assuming that the change of status, because I know you can submit it right after you get married, but I'm assuming that she probably hasn't done it yet, this would be a good time to not do it.
And at this point, he probably wouldn't care if they got a divorce, because he don't want to have no part of that $100,000 debt.
Well, no. If they get divorced before the change of status paperwork, he can still stay, right? He would just have to apply for a different type of status. So,
everybody else has been able to stay over here.
Because they already got married. So even if they get divorced, I think the rule is you have to stay together for 2 years, but the 2 years can also be separated, meaning that as long as you're not legally divorced, you don't have to live in the same house. You don't have to live in the same state. As long as you're legally married on paper to that person for 2 years. That was the rule back in the day. It could have changed. They change these laws every now and then. So I know that once he married her, he was good. He doesn't have to live with her. He doesn't even have to maintain a relationship if he doesn't want to. As long as she stays married for 2 years and files a change of status, he's good to go.
Well, can we talk about a couple things with this fake wig? Okay? First of all, I don't know how in the hell he understands what that girl be saying, because I'm like, what is she saying? Then some words that I do understand, she ain't even saying it correctly. So I don't know what the hell she be trying to say most of the time. I be like scratching my head. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. All right. Second of all, why is she having to ask everybody about his life? Okay. She's a witch, right?
Mm-hmm.
She reads tarot cards, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Just said that the tarot cards never lie, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
She said the tarot cards tell her everything, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Case closed.
Case closed. I was like, hold
case
on,
closed.
Dee's pen is on fire.
Whoa.
The woman is not a witch. She's not a witch. She's not a clairvoyant. She's not. She's nothing. She's in denial is what she is. That's the only thing Ashley's in. Because first of all, the cards, the tarot cards that she was looking at. Well, yeah, they could be upside down because it's the way she was laying them. Just because a tarot card is upside down, some of them do mean things and then some of them don't mean things. But I mean, it was the way she was laying them, and the ones that she had upside down, if they're upside down, that doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
Well,
if he's still talking to his ex, his baby mama or his ex or whatever, read the tarot cards.
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, say you a witch. I mean, come on now. You say you're doing all kind of stuff to make the sex good. You're doing this, you're doing that because you a witch. You ain't no damn witch. So you don't know. You don't know shit. So stop saying you're a witch.
She asked Mel. She asked him if he knew what hangry meant. And it was comical to me because he can't speak English. So I was like, if he doesn't know, like, general English, why would he know, like, words that we made up? I was like, it was comical to me because I was like, well, he doesn't know, like, general terms. So, like, words that we made up are going to be, like, way off of his balance of what does it mean. She does and says things that make me question, not just if she's a witch. I know she's not a witch, but like if she's got like all of the screws or tools in the shed, right? Do y'all feel like that too? Like sometimes I feel like the tool shed might have a hole in the bottom and there's things falling through the ground. Like I don't know if she's okay, right? Like I don't know. I'm not 100% sure she's okay.
She is definitely not the man in the box.
No.
Well, yeah.
And then it's like the motor's running, but nobody's driving.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Like you're on the road and you see a car and you look and at first glance, their seat's really far back. So it looks like there's a driverless car. That's what I feel like. There's just, she's driving, but there's nobody there. Yeah. She didn't know his family was in Newark, New Jersey, and not New York. Thank you, Coco. Right. Like, and we're going beyond being a witch. She should have just known that. You got a K-1 visa and you brought a man over here from Ecuador and you don't know where his family is. First of all, let's be realistic. She didn't even know he had any family until he got here.
But she's a witch.
Like, she
reads the tarot cards and she's a clairvoyant.
Right.
And she reads people.
And none of this is even hard rocket science NASA stuff. Like, if you're going to, honestly, Riley would tell you this. If you're going to bring somebody anywhere, you should do a background check, right? Like, she should have did a background check. And I don't know how good they're going to be, you know, but him being from another country or whatever, but she should have did what she needed to do because there's no reason why she found out all this information after he got here. And they've known each other for a decade. Can we let's focus on the decade for a minute? They've known each other for a decade, and she don't know anything about him. That's scary. I've met people within the last few months and I know like a lot. Like I know their birthday. I know how many kids they have. I know where they live. I know what their car looks like. I know what they do for a living. I know how many siblings they have. Like I take the time to get to know people. Can you imagine knowing somebody for a decade and you don't even know that they have family 2 hours
and
or 3 hours from you?
Possibly in a relationship with them.
Right. Like it's scary. I worry about her because if anybody was going to get taken advantage of, it's going to be Ashley because she's not sharp, right? Like
it's fine. She can see it. It's fine. She sees it all coming.
Well, you know, I wonder what she can and can't see. Honestly, I really do. Oh, so we got some scenes with Nicole and her husband, Mahmoud, tonight. And the one thing I wanted to point out was I felt like she was wrong for bringing her friends back to the apartment after he told her that he didn't want to interact with them. Like, and not just being like Muslim, but like just as a human being. Like, it's okay if you don't want to be a part of a situation. Like, I've been invited to places, parties, events, or whatever, and I didn't want to interact with the people that were going to be there, so I didn't go. And I felt like it was wrong of her to bring those people back. Somebody tweeted at me tonight. I didn't answer it yet because I was getting ready, but they were like, are you still Team Nicole after all the shit that she said? And I was thinking like, who in the hell thinks that I'm Team Nicole in this situation? I'm Team Zero of any of them. Like, first of all, I don't know who sent me that, but I'm gonna go back on Twitter later on and we're gonna have a conversation. Don't get me wrong. They're both wrong. They're both a hot mess and they both need to see a therapist. I'm just saying, her bringing them back after he told her explicitly, hey, I don't want to interact with your friends right now. I'm not having a good night. No night's a good night. But I think that they're both horrible people, you know, and I'm very open-minded. I'm very accepting and tolerant of a lot, but they're both horrible people in their own way. But Nicole has really shown a lot in these 5 episodes, right? Like, I just feel like she's definitely, the way that she cusses at him and she calls him names and she was cussing at him in front of her friends. And it was really shocking to me. You know, to bring somebody to another country that knows no one, who's scared. He's a scared little boy, let's be real. He's a scared little boy. And bring him to a place that he's uncomfortable being in, and then yell at him, scream at him, and cuss at him, and swear at him, and then bring people to his bedroom where he thinks that he's safe. Like, I feel like she's alive. And I really feel like airing this relationship is so toxic. And there isn't even like a disclaimer saying like, if you or anyone you know is a victim of like abuse or harassment or any, like, I feel like airing this is so bad, right? Like, I feel like, and I found out recently that Angela and Michael are gonna be in next week's episode. I heard that. So I don't know, they weren't in the preview, but I was told that they're gonna pop up in the next episode. So I'm curious if that's true or not. Because they, Kara, you point out to me, they removed them from all of the upcoming promotion. No previews, no commercials, nothing. I've seen nothing of them. It's almost like she's been ripped, cast from the books. Like, Angela's non-existent at this point. So I got word, actually, I got two different contradicting information. Sarah Fraser, who has a very, very prominent podcast, told me that they were not going to be aired this season. And I like to believe things that she says because she has connections of people that work for the production company. So yeah. She told me that. I thought that that was something that I could go with. And then I had another source tell me, oh, no, they're definitely going to be in episode 6. So I'm really confused.
It's Sarah Fraser.
Well, right. I felt like I needed to believe her because I know for a fact that she is very... She has connections, and a lot of her connections are people who work for Sharp Entertainment. So what's the point of her not having the correct information? But what really questions it is, why are we watching Nicole and Mahmood if you're going to take Angela and Michael out? And Angela and Michael's situation happened first. So I'm trying to understand the logic of it. Like, why would you take, like...
Neither one of them should be on, period, ever again. Neither one of them should be anywhere near my TV ever again.
Well, I don't get it, you know, and I'm trying to understand. I know that, you know, they're back. Well, I don't want to say they're back. He's back where he's at, and they're not together, but I get that. But I also know that they didn't show up to the tell-all that they filmed. You know, I found that out. So another reason why I thought it would just be easier to edit them out, right? Like, it would have made more sense. Why go through all the trouble?
For it. They probably found out they weren't going to get paid for it, so they weren't going to get paid for the tell-all. So
why not?
Because of all the bullshit. They're apart. There's restraining orders, all that stuff, so they can't be together.
Well, as far as I know, like, okay, so the Diva Speaks, was he found guilty? He was not. As far as I know, there's no, what do you call it, like a deposition? There's no resolution to that. And from what I understand, he's not. I
heard that he had like a no contact order on her.
Yeah, anytime you're arrested for any domestic assault, I know it depends on the state, so I can't say anytime. Most, I know California.
Yeah, but nobody's arrested.
Was he not arrested?
Neither one of them.
Really?
Michael?
Really? I was told that Mahmood was arrested.
Oh, maybe he was. I thought we were talking about Angela and Michael.
Oh, no. Michael, no. Nobody was arrested in that. No. Sorry. So that was another thing that I thought was weird, because why not? The people who were arrested would be edited out, obviously. But as far as I know, he's not in this country anymore. So if that being true, he couldn't have a case pending. I don't think they would allow you to leave the country if you have charges pending against you. So I'm going to go ahead and say that they were probably dismissed, because how could he have possibly have left the country?
Remember what we were talking about, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, is probably, and TLC is wrong for airing this. Hands down, they're wrong, because they're trying to make it look like that any kind of abuse is okay. No kind of abuse, no way, shape or form is okay, man or woman, no matter who you are. But I remember we were talking about that they probably did it so that we, the people that watch TLC, can see that the real side of Nicole, because now we're seeing a side of Nicole that we didn't see when she was in his country. I'm thinking that's probably why, because everybody's pointing their fingers at Mahmoud, or however you want to call his name. But at the end of the day, whether it got physical or not, we don't know, but it should have never got that way. They should have just went their separate ways. He packs his stuff for next week, and after she does all that stuff to him, she's trying to get him not to leave. I mean, that's toxic. That's narcissist. She's a narcissist. They're both toxic narcissist people. Both narcissistic people. Yes.
And both. And I don't like how, because, you know, I think, like you said, they're trying to show, oh, well, Nicole's not innocent. I was like, it doesn't matter who's innocent and who's not. They're both toxic. They're both guilty. They both should have never gotten to
They should have never been there. Because it's just saying that, okay, if you want to be abusive, go ahead. We'll support you. Nobody should support anyone that's being abusive to anybody. I don't care who they are.
Ever. Okay, so I want to ask y'all a question. So Jasmine said that Gino took her on a date and he used a coupon. So I want to ask you a question. Now, if you're in a relationship, no, they're married. Okay, so you're married. And then, no, I'm going to ask a two-part question. So if you're in a relationship, how many dates do you need to have already been on before a man can pull out a coupon on a date? I know first, second, and third are off limits, right? Honestly, because
right, go ahead.
Why are you? I can't. I'm just. I have so much to say about this. First of all, you can't call going to Sizzler a date when all you're doing is getting the damn salad bar. Second of all, stop spending your $12.95 at the damn restaurant and put it towards your freaking attorney. Because you're an idiot and filed the papers wrong. Third, you don't always get something every time you get in a fight. She gets a facial. She gets her nails done. She gets a free dinner. She gets blah, blah, blah. I just can't with these people. I can't. But, yeah, he can use a freaking coupon, I guess. Sure, knock your socks off.
So, wait, it wouldn't bother you if you were on a date and the guy used the coupon? No?
If it's my husband, he best damn well be saving money so I can get my freaking children over here.
Okay.
Because he's a moron.
That was my question. Because I feel like when you're married, y'all are in it together anyway, right? So, Didi, are you good with a date coupon, or is that like a husband thing?
It don't bother me. I mean, as long as I get something to eat, I don't care.
Really?
It don't bother me. George, next time me and you go out to eat, okay? If you pull out a coupon, I promise I won't judge you.
I don't know where to get coupons, but I would love to get some. So, like, I don't know. Like, on a date, I feel like, for instance, you know how you could go, like, to Applebee's and they have, like, two for 30? Is that okay?
Yeah, I do it all the time. It don't bother me.
Why not?
See, I don't know, because a lot of times I see on TikTok, there's like women that'll be on a date and their guy should be like, the guy took me to Five Guys. This is ridiculous. He should have took me somewhere nice. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of times the younger girls, they expect something extreme for like a date. In my opinion, when you're getting to know someone, I think, you know, I'm not going to take you to $100 a plate place if we don't even know each other, because we might not click. We might not even get along. So I think that a lot of times it's easier to go to a food truck. Like, there's this place where I live called the World of Food Trucks. It's got like hundreds of food trucks everywhere. Like, I would love to just go and try stuff and talk. But I think a lot of times people are really hung up on, you should spend a whole lot of money on me on a date.
You can
tell. I don't know.
Waffle House, and I'd be okay.
9 times out of 10, when you go to a super fancy restaurant that's $100 a plate, your portion sizes are miniature, and it's all about presentation. If you take me on a date, buy me a $100 plate, and I need a Dairy Queen Blizzard afterwards, I'm going to be really pissed off. So take me to Five Guys. Get me the large fries that come in a bag. I want a side of fry sauce. Let's do this. I don't give a shit if it's buy one, get one free.
I know. Let's go to Waffle House. Waffle House is good. Shoot, yeah. I don't care.
If I didn't have to took it and I didn't have to pay for it? Why does it matter?
I mean, I don't disagree with you, because Jasmine's like, well, it doesn't count because you used a coupon. And I was like, did you eat? It counts if you ate. Like, it doesn't count if it was, you're like, I don't know. But I think that in dating, you have to be careful, though, because a lot of women have weird expectations in the beginning. And I think it's crazy, because I know, like, if you're married, y'all's money belongs to each other. Like, y'all are in this together. So you should be like, why would you take me here? This is expensive. We could have easily ate over there. You know, like, or we had a coupon over here. Like, I think women think differently. You know, when you get married, you know, that's your partner. That's your mate. That's the person that you're sharing life with. You don't want them to spend $500 on dinner, because that's money you could do something else with. You know, but I think when these girls are dating men, they don't care how much he spends, because they probably aren't going to call him the next day anyway. They could care less. You know, and I felt like Jasmine kind of was giving off that energy, you know, like, because I was like, well, you can't really treat him like he's a money bag, because this is your money bag. If you spend all the money in his bag, y'all broke.
Well, you know, I can't even handle
this whole thing with her and her children and wanting to go back to Panama. And this is the closest I've ever been to going back to Panama.
Yeah.
The fact that Gina's being a little bit nicer now makes it okay that we got to wait 2 years. It's fine, because he's nice. But when he's not being nice, I want to go back to Panama. That's your kids. Go back to Panama. Go.
Well, Twitter is not happy with her, because Twitter feels that she didn't have custody of them already. And, you know, if she came over here, she should have made sure that her kids were on that application, on that paperwork. There's nowhere that says that she can't be involved in filling out the paperwork. It doesn't have to be on Gino. It doesn't have to be on a lawyer.
You can fill out your thinking paperwork. That she probably promised their dad, those kids' dad, something. She had to promise them something, because why is she so adamant? Because we already know that they've never lived with her. The father is raising them, and I mean, we don't even know for sure how many kids she's got, because we keep hearing different things. Like, you know, we already know her sister is actually her daughter with Dane. I mean, she keeps denying it, but I mean, they've made it so obvious. You know what I'm saying? And then she has her little boy, which is adorable. He's a handsome little boy. But, okay, she says she has another son, which I understand if he, you know, because of his disability, hands down, I get it. I agree. But if you don't want to take care of him in your own country, what makes you think that you're going to take care of them in over here? Other than you're looking at them as free money, because you bring them over here, you're married to Gino, then you can start getting stuff like Medicaid, food stamps, checks, monthly checks. I mean, you can make money off of them. So I'm thinking she had to have promised their dad something, some kind of money, some way, shape, or form.
So she doesn't have custody of these kids, and she never has. So
no.
I think that this is literally all for show. She knew these kids were never coming over. Maybe they were coming over to visit, but they were never coming over to live.
And is anybody finding weird that she's never explained to us why she doesn't have custody? Like, you know,
she's
when you
never said why.
Stupid.
Like, why is that? Because usually, I don't know how courts work in Panama, but usually when you go to the courts, it is always in the best interest of the child to be with the mother, you know, and unless there's some extreme circumstances that will make the mother unfit, you know, because the judge always, and I think, honestly, because let's be realistic, if a mother gives birth to a child, that child could be breastfed, right? So yeah. It's in the best interest of the child to be with its mother. So it has to be something going on that for some reason she didn't have custody of her kids. And she's never really elaborated on why, you know, because she said that she was working, she was a teacher, she said she was working with kids. You know, so what was the extreme circumstance that the dad took care of both kids, and then she only saw them every now and then? Like, why is that? And it's like she hasn't ever given any explanation as to why that is. And if that is the case, how are you going to get custody of them to bring them to another country if you couldn't get custody of them in the country where they were born? Like, there's so many questions. So I think I think you're That's nailing what I'm it.
saying. She had to promise the dad something. I mean, because even if she doesn't have custody of him, just for them to come over and visit, the father of the children has to sign. If they're minors, they have to sign something, giving them permission to come over here. That's what I'm saying. She's wanting to use the kids for some kind of money or something. She's promised their dad something.
Maybe when they get here, she promised the dad that there will be money that she'll send back to him. Like, maybe she's like, well, if you give them to me, I could send you. Because obviously she's not sending him child support now, right? I'm pretty sure she's not.
I don't think she's ever paid child support, to be honest.
So, here's the thing, though, okay? So she's got this kid with a disability, so much to the point that she doesn't want him on TV, doesn't want him on social media, doesn't want any of that because she doesn't want him to be bullied, which I totally understand. But who's taking care of this kid solely while you're there, much less while you're in another freaking country? If I have a kid with a disability, you bet your ass I ain't going anywhere. There's no way I would leave the country and hope that my child could be with me in 6 months and then find out it's 2 years. No way. No good mother would do that.
Yeah, I was thinking, because, you know, Megan from The Single Life, who's with John, she has a daughter who's nonverbal. And I was like, I wish I could ask her. I'll be like, hey, if John would have asked you to move to another country and leave your daughter, leave Riley,
there ain't no
in another country for 2 years, I would love to see the verbiage that she would use to say no to me. You know, because I was like, I bet you she would cuss, she would yell, like, why would you ask me such a stupid question? You know, but I was like, because other people have done that. But I know for a fact she would look at me and say, is there something wrong with you? Like, if my daughter can't come with me, then I'm not going. Like, that's what a mother would say. So this whole situation has puzzled me. The whole situation, I'm like, well.
And also, sorry, I have to rewind for a second. Going back to the date night dinner. Mm-hmm. She lost all credibility anyway when she wanted to Lady and Tramp the Noodle. Like, that was horrific. These people, like, use the freaking coupon, get out.
I feel like
that just messed up the whole cartoon for me. I mean, come on, who wants to mess up Lady and the Tramp? And they just, she messed it up.
Ruined it all.
I'll never look at that cartoon the same again.
No, not at all.
Oh, I went back last week and watched The More to Love for The Single Life. Kim was on. I forget who told us last week in the chat. Remember, we were talking about The Single Life tell all. Kim was on part 1.
But I'm here. We were right.
Yes, you were right.
It was on social media. Somebody recorded it.
Like a 4-minute segment, which it was good. She didn't lay into Veronica as much as I would like. But if you go back and watch The More to Love part 1 of The Single Life tell-all, I had to go back. She was on there. Very first part, before Jamal and Louisa got kicked off the stage, like, it was pretty early on. And I was like, well, shit, we missed this somehow. But she did come out. So she was wearing a red dress. Like, whatever they told us last week was 100% accurate. So if you are able to go back, I think you have, like, streaming, right? I'm pretty sure you can go back. But it's The More to Love. So it's not the one that aired on TV on Monday. It's the one that aired on Wednesday.
I bet you she's on tomorrow.
So you think she'll be back? So you think that wasn't her only appearance?
No, because not everybody watches The More to Love.
Well, yeah.
And I thought it was important
to the tell-all, too. So it was weird to me because I was like, why would you cut Kim out but keep Miss Karen in? You know, like, it was a weird move.
There's no way they flew her to New York and said, here, we're going to put you in this 3-second clip on the off chance somebody watches it and catches a glimpse of you. No, she's going to come out and shred some ass.
So tomorrow, we're going to get to part 5 of the tell-all, which is the finale.
Finally.
Finally.
It appears that Mike is going to serve Natalie on the show, which
Right.
My popcorn and my wine and I'm okay, I don't want to come across as a mean human being, but I want nothing more than to Natalie to be served on this show and humiliated for the using BS human being that she is. So I'm really excited that we're going to finally see Natalie get what's coming to her. You know, karma has finally caught up. She got her address. She found her. She tracked her down. And now we are about to watch it happen. So I'm really happy. Natalie, if you're watching this, I'm not sorry.
Me either.
And then we're
going to freaking nutcase get off my damn TV.
And then we're going to watch.
And then not only that, remember how she used that one lady? She used her to stay in her house.
Yeah.
And then she up and left and she did that lady wrong. Everybody that Natalie has come in contact with since she's been in the U.S., she has done them wrong. So Natalie deserves everything that karma's given her right now and more.
That lady reached out to me, actually. I wrote a story about it on my website. She reached out to me. The things that she told me, horrific. Things that Natalie did in her house, horrific. Food underneath the bed, like horrific stuff. Yeah. Sick. Never paid her a dime. Okay, so and we're gonna watch Debbie and Miss Debbie go at it. So we're gonna come back tomorrow for the finale of The Single Life, part 5. And then next week, we're gonna start Love in Paradise, which it's been. Can you believe it's been a year?
All new people.
Yeah, with all new people. I'm excited. It's been a whole year since we met Scott. E. Scott, it's been a whole year. So we're jumping back in. There's new people. There's a guy who's obsessed with donating sperm and having kids, and he has like 70-something kids. So there's going to be a lot of craziness to talk about. I'm really excited for all new people finally on a cast.
And Milf Manor, too. All new people.
Yeah, all new Milf Manor. If you guys didn't watch season 1 of Milf Manor, it's coming back for season 2. There was a twist, but they said that there's now 2 twists. So I'm kind of excited about that as well. Obviously, we know that the sons are there, but maybe it's also going to be like the ex-husbands or something too. So I'm excited for that too. So a lot of nice trash TV for us. We deserve it, right? We deserve this. We've been dealing with a lot of BS. Make sure you're following both of my co-hosts, Car and DD. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Masi Show. Thank you for joining and listening and watching with us tonight. We'll talk to all of you guys tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.